You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
April the 23rd, 2020. Several states preparing to open for business again, at least in stages, bit by bit, trying to reopen America. At the same time, the latest unemployment numbers coming in, 4.4 million Americans filing first-time unemployment claims. We now have 26 million living on unemployment benefits. And if we don't open up soon, we're going to have more, because some of the jobs that are out there now are just barely hanging on. Some of the businesses trying to maintain just a little bit longer to either get a stimulus check or for the American society and economy to refire. And some of them had to shut the doors and may never open again. We have to open America. The question is how, when, how fast. And at what risk? It's very easy for those who have it made, who have their money, who don't have to go and earn another dime, to say, those people out there protesting, calling to reopen, are risking everybody. And are they going to accept the responsibility for additional infections and deaths? Yeah, it's easy to do that when you don't have to worry about income and providing for your family. They mock the protesters out there, but keep in mind, those protesters, they're not out there just to make noise. They're there because they've either lost their job or their business or on the verge of doing so. And they're questioning, have we gone too far? Have we gone too far? There are states preparing, as I said, Georgia, and President Trump has made it clear he thinks Georgia is moving too fast. I'll give you both sides of this issue. So let's just don't accept the fact that open the doors and go forward, because the president's already made it clear the Georgia governor, who's a Republican, he thinks he's moving too fast. Well, you've got a Texas governor who's also a Republican. He's preparing to open up Texas and Tennessee and South Carolina. And in those states, they say statistically, we've not been hit like we said we were going to be, the predictions. We're not seeing anything that would indicate. So we've got to reopen the economy. And when they do, it will help start spurring additional growth and birth for our nation. Where do we stand worldwide on infections at this point? 2.6 million death count across the world from this pandemic, 185,000. U.S. infections confirmed, 844,000. Those total reported dead from COVID-19, 47,000. Coming up in the next 2 hours, we're going to break down a lot of details for you. And part of it, of course, has to do with reopening America. James Carafano will join us from the Heritage Foundation. They've had specific ideas of how we should go about it, how fast. And the question for Jim and the Heritage Foundation is, are they listening to your recommendations, and are your recommendations sound and solid? Also going to be joined today again by Tom Wellington of Wellington Environmental, one of my sponsors. Their job, their duty and their mission is to sterilize homes and businesses in operation now, and also go into facilities that are going to try to reopen to make sure they've been sterilized and no COVID-19 still lurking on computers and desktops. And Tom has some interesting stories from the front line as they've been doing this recently over the last week since we last talked to him. One story would be almost funny except for the dire consequences that could have been connected to the story. And also, Chris Cuomo, who had COVID-19, then came out of his basement finally and said, I'm out for the first time, lying. We caught him yesterday. He came out previously, and now there's a report his son has COVID-19, and we hope that works out for him. Yesterday, we also told you about New York State instructing paramedics not to revive cardiac patients amid this crisis. A blanket do not resuscitate directive for first responders. You come up on someone with cardiac arrest, you do not try to revive them. We talked about that yesterday. That is so insane. That is against the principle, the mission of everyone in the health business. Dr. Lehman was with us yesterday. He said, I cannot believe they've done that. They have rescinded it. New York has decided to rescind that issue. Good. And I know it went counter to the very heart of the mission for every health worker. And we thank them for what they're doing for us. And there are many out there. And there's a special tribute coming out for health workers. We'll tell you about that. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I told the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, that I disagree strongly with his decision to open certain facilities which are in violation of the phase one guidelines for the incredible people of Georgia. They're incredible people. I love those people. They're great. They've been strong, resolute, but at the same time, he must do what he thinks is right. I want him to do what he thinks is right, but I disagree with him on what he's doing, but I want to let the governors do. Now, if I see something totally egregious, totally out of line, I'll do, but I think spas and beauty salons and tattoo parlors and barbershops in phase one, we're going to have phase two very soon. It's just too soon. I love those people that use all of those things, the spas and the beauty parlors and barbershops, tattoo parlors. I love them. But they can wait a little bit longer, just a little bit, not much, because safety has to predominate. We have to have that. So I told the governor very simply that I disagree with his decision, but he has to do what he thinks is right.
President Trump, and I had told you previously that I think there are times that President Trump is kind of playing a rope-a-dope with the media because he kind of gets them against the ropes and they don't know what to do, and he kind of bounces around with them because they have been so critical that he doesn't know what he's doing. He's putting us in more danger. He's going to open up the country and we're all going to die. And here he is chastising, not directly chastising, let me correct that, just saying he disagrees with a Republican governor about opening up his state right away. Well, that is, again, throwing the leftist media for a loop. Whoa, wait a minute. Now he's saying he doesn't want to rush forward. He's never said, open up the country, regardless of the risk. He has not said that one time. At every step, he said, we do what we need to, as we need to. Yes, there's been some disagreement, perhaps, between the medical professionals, and some of them even on his own staff. And what we're going to see in years of the future when we look back on this, we'll find reasons for disagreement, because will the stats bear out what the original projections were at this time? At this time, no, they won't. They will fall way, way short to then bring up to the question, did we go too far? Did we just destroy the economy we had booming when it's not much more than the standard flu when you get down to it? I will agree and I will accept, and I've been in favor of this distancing and some closings for a while and just kind of putting everything on rest for a period of time. But I think we've gone past that. I've gone past it by maybe a week or 2 weeks or whatever. You, of course, have to make your own decision. If a business opens, they're going to open expecting you're going to come into them. If it's a restaurant, they're hoping they're going to get customers. If the public decides it's too risky, they won't show up. That question will be answered for that restaurant owner at that point. And if others come in and they wear a mask, but then they take it off once they're seated at their table and enjoying their meal, I still see people driving around in their cars by themselves with a mask on. I'm thinking, what are you afraid of in your car? But that's their decision. It's all a personal decision. So regardless of what the governors do, regardless of what states we begin to open up in one area, it's still going to come down to an individual decision. But the economy is in the balance. So some see this statement by President Trump yesterday that he disagrees strongly with the Georgia Republican plan to open some businesses tomorrow. They think all the Republicans are feuding among themselves and fighting. No, it's a matter of the fact the president has his view, and he's also said in the summation, which again is throwing the left for a loop, I'm going to let the governors decide unless they do something, as he said, totally egregious. If they did something just totally put everybody at risk, not only citizens of their state but the nation, that would call for a different approach. But his attitude has been, as you heard in the beginning, and they jumped on it, the left jumped all over it, I'm the president, I will decide when we lock down the nation, when we can open it up. And, of course, some of the lib governors started rushing out, no, we decide. We decide. You don't say anything. We will make the decision. And what he was saying is, if you're going to open up a state too soon and make it a hazard for your own citizens and the rest of the nation, then I need to be involved. But otherwise, he's had an attitude, and it's the conservative philosophy. We don't need federal government stepping on everything. In fact, there are times, butt out, we'll take care of it. There are other times we need you. That's why you're there. I like the fact that the governor of Georgia has made his decision to move forward. The president doesn't. So I'm at odds with the president at this point. We're going to see how it works out. And the governor of Texas is going to do the same thing. They're going to allow in Georgia to open up places like barbershops, nail salons, gyms, and so forth, and also elective medical procedures will start again. All the business is still supposed to comply with social distancing. Now, of course, there's a limit to that. If you're going in to get a haircut, you got to have somebody close to your head to give you the haircut. Then it's a matter of wearing masks. And we will see how many business owners or salon operators or those cutting the hair or those coming in as customers decide to wear a mask during the process. That's up to them. And then other states will be watching Georgia, and they're going to continue to make their move. And supposedly, by Monday in Georgia, they will open up restaurants and movie theaters. And, of course, there has been a study, and we've discussed this before, out of Sweden anyway. They did not have draconian lockdowns. They have not had an overwhelming pandemic because they took an attitude of immunization. basically let it kind of run its course. Folks get out, exposed, kind of herd immunization, and it'll be mitigated. And you have to ask if there isn't some balance in there that is worth reconsidering because of the study that came out of L.A. the other day. L.A. County and the public health facilities out there did a survey, and they found anywhere from 200,000 to 400,000 had antibodies in their system that indicated they had already had the virus. They had been exposed to the coronavirus, obviously still well, still walking. They might have been sick a little bit like it was a flu, and then it passed. Now, the USC study tentatively finding that this is going to be less deadly than we thought. Of course, if you have lost a loved one or you have one in the hospital right now, your perspective is entirely different, and it's understandable. I was thinking the other day, I have not seen lately, and I just wondered, you know, because there had been a two-edged sword here by closing the nation down like we have. We have had, I assume, I haven't seen specifics, a reduction in traffic accidents and fatalities, less traffic. For a period of time, there was less crime because folks were staying in, afraid to go out. Even the criminals saying, too dangerous for me. But the criminal element began to step forward. And in some cases, because they know businesses are closed and they can try to get inside and burglarize them, and are they're getting desperate as well. They need money and food or drugs, whatever their intent is. There's a study from Harvard that says reopening the U.S. after this pandemic, much bigger than most people realize. The attitude is that we're not anywhere near ready to open. The authors say we need to massively scale up testing, contact tracing, isolation, and quarantine, together with providing resources to make these possible for all individuals. And they say we need at least 5 million tests a day to be delivered by early June or July. Yeah, no, early June. In other words, they're saying you should not really open until at least June. At present, the U.S. is doing something like 150,000 tests a day. That's a far cry from 5 million. To date, more than 4 million have been administered. But again, are you saying, based on this Harvard study, the economy would be shut down at least till June? And if you're going to wait on a vaccine, you're going to wait longer. And the attitude of some is, of course, to mock those in the streets. Governor Andrew Cuomo, he's been doing good on some things, but he kind of unveiled some of his inner thoughts yesterday. He was asked by one reporter if there's a right to work for unemployed New Yorkers who aren't getting unemployment checks and need money. And he said, the governor said, you want to go to work? Take a job as an essential worker. Do it tomorrow. Essential workers in New York, medical care, public infrastructure, public transportation, food supplies, so forth. Well, if they're hiring, they probably would. But maybe they don't have any room to hire anymore or funding. You think the cities want to hire more people right now? That'd be an essential job in some of them? Not likely. But Cuomo says you can get a job as an essential worker. Go get an essential job. Of course, the governor has an essential job. That's why he's still working. And his attitude is insulting. Insulting and mocking those who want to start earning a living again. But I want to give you balance. There is a Associated Press survey finding that the majority of Americans support government mandates implementing strict stay-at-home orders and enforce social distancing rules. Despite the protest calling for these restrictions to be lifted and to reopen the economy, 61% of those surveyed say the government's actions are what's best for public safety. 8 in 10 Americans say they do support the measures that strongly advise you to stay at home and limit your social interactions to 10 or fewer. 12% of Americans say the measures where they live go too far. Twice as many, 26%, believe the limits aren't enough. The nation split. Part of it has to do, I would imagine, on an economic scale. If you've got a business and you're still clicking along, you can say, well, we don't need to reopen everything right now. And if you've got money coming in or you're safe with the money you've got, you're okay. But if you don't have that income, you have nothing. I mean, the waiters and waitresses at restaurants, so forth, they had no money coming in. The stimulus check's not going to do it. Unemployment's not going to do it. It is amazing to me that some of the ones I've heard say, no, don't open anything. We got to wait. The fools that open it should take responsibility for those dying. And the ones saying that are often well bunkered down, or they don't need to go do anything, and they're fine. But there are others that are suffering, and they need to provide for their families. And what about the government overreach that's taken place and the threat of more government overreach? Now, I just read you part of that survey about most Americans support the stay-at-home orders. But some of those orders go way beyond that, coming up.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. Redfitnesslounge.com.
And it's Bear, Bear, Leroy Brown. Baddest man in the whole damn town. Better than old King Kong. Meaner than a junk.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So once again, how restrictive are you willing to live going over the next few days? Or weeks, or months, if we decide you cannot open the area, your government, your state, your city at this point. Now again, this survey again from the Associated Press says that 8 in 10 Americans say they support the measures, strongly advising everyone to stay at home and limit social interaction. But the other part of that is 26% believe the limits currently imposed don't go far enough. How much more do you want to have put on you? How about what's happening in Harris County, Texas? That's Houston area. A judge ordered residents, put an order out. You must wear a face mask in public for 30 days beginning next week, or you're going to face a fine. You're going to be fined if they catch you out and you do not have a face mask. Now, they tried this in New York. They originally put out something that you're going to be ordered to put on a face mask. But they quickly realized, how are we going to enforce this? Then what are we going to, are we going to fine them? What are we going to, you're going to jail people for this thing? I mean, it clearly is an indication that you'd be in violation of a jail. I mean, you should be locked up. So the lieutenant governor wrote a message regarding that order. And he said, it's not needed. Common sense guidelines are better. Congressman Dan Crenshaw of Texas said, this is unjust tyranny. He said, should guidelines for masks and confined spaces be emphatically promoted? Obviously. I'm sorry, he said, absolutely. But we will never support 180 days in jail or a $1,000 fine for not wearing a mask. But that is what this county judge in Texas wanted. If you're not wearing it, you could face a fine of $1,000 or maybe 180 days in jail. Well, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking, if they put you in jail, actually you should probably really be safe because they've been letting everybody else out, and so you won't get any coronavirus. Where would you come up with something like this? Even the Houston Police Officers Union said, you talk about draconian. And, of course, they're wondering, well, how are we supposed to enforce this? We have a court order from the judge. The judge says we have to do this. I mean, what are we supposed to do? So now they are asking for guidance from the state attorney general's office, asking, is this legal? Is it supposed to be enforced? And the judge's response, police are entitled to their opinions. I'm not trying to make this a police state, but I want to slow the spread of the virus. We understand that. But you're saying that if you don't wear a mask, you'll get a fine of $1,000 possibly and 180 days in jail. Yeah, you talk about overreach. And, of course, the Dems are looking again for this to be an opportunity to expand all kinds of government amidst this crisis. Right back to Ron Emanuel's remarks as he worked for President Obama. Never let a crisis go to waste. And they're not. And we're going to take a break and come back with Jim Carafano of the Heritage Foundation to tell us his view on how the Democrats are rushing in to put new laws, new restrictions, and use your money and just basically subjugate you to the government. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Got me waking, bone man, waking around the fire. I want a little rain or water that you want that Jimmy Star, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Glad to welcome back on board James J. Carafano, the Heritage Foundation, focusing on national security. Jim, glad to have you back on board again, sir.
Hey, great to be with you.
Listen, I'm looking at an article that you penned for the National Interest, and I want to go to one of your summation lines by first setting up. Of course, President Trump is saying he thinks that Georgia Governor Kemp is moving too fast, shouldn't move as quick as he is. And, of course, the left is jumping all over that, is showing the distance and the difference between the two. Your summation line at one point is, America is not locked in bitter, paralyzing indecision. And yet we have the president against a Republican governor, the left, the right. Well, where are we going?
Well, I don't think that's paralyzing indecision. To me, that is two guys, two leaders, who both share a common goal and are trying to work together to figure this out. This would be like saying that, you know, Montgomery and Eisenhower and Patton didn't always agree on everything and you know, send each other Christmas cards every day, but they had a common goal, which was to get to Berlin. We have a common goal. Get the country open. You know, there's some differences, but I think that's how tough things get done. Is people look at them and they figure out, okay, how are we going to do this? I don't see this one as a big problem. I'm actually a little more sympathetic to what the governor of Georgia is doing, but you have to remember part of the reason why the president said it. Look,
Jim, we're
these
losing.
Guys have
yeah,
to do
yeah,
this.
Jim, where you are right now sounds good. Wherever you're, if you can cease moving,
oh.
We got a good signal.
Oh,
Go ahead.
We're
talking about the governors, and you're in sympathy with them.
Oh yeah, I am, and I think the president did. He's crossed the Rubicon. He said, "Look, the governors are in charge," but the president, you know, he has his team, and they've looked at the analysis, and he is giving the governor of Georgia the the benefit of what that analysis says. I think we're going to be fine. But here's the thing: is people pretend this is not like we're all going to die here. This isn't Apollo 13. If Georgia starts to show bad trends, then the federal government will help. The governor of Georgia will make some different decisions, and we'll move on to the next thing.
I have a piece from Harvard that they came out with that they claim in their new study that we're nowhere near ready to open, that we want to see at least 5 million tests per day to be delivered by early June, and basically saying that if we open too soon, it's going to create total chaos.
Here's the problem with, I think, judgments like that, is it's a pronouncement that every state in Washington, America, has to go lockstep. We're not unlocking the country. So I don't even know what that means when they say that. And the other thing is, I think it's very clear is that if you look at the phases that the government lined out, this is the thing that they never bothered to mention. This administration has made a commitment is when states get to the phase where they need more testing so they can do tracing and really map what they're doing, the testing capacity will be there. And who's got a better track record here? Harvard, which still owes the federal government money, or the United States government, which has delivered on testing capacity when they said they would and has made a difference every step of the way? So if I was an investing guy, I'd be putting my money on the government, not on Harvard.
Heritage Foundation had this National Coronavirus Recovery Commission of 17 different members from your staff from the fields of medicine, public health, government, so forth, disaster response, giving advice to the White House and I assume to the governors as well. Is the advice being followed? I mean, at this point, I mean, the president says Georgia should not open. They're moving too fast. But, of course, he's going to let them make the decision. The governor said we're ready to go now. There's still a difference of opinion that weighs with the people of Georgia.
I think, you know, they're both operating within a band of risk. And, again, if it turns out that Georgia did some things that moved too fast, and you forget, even within the state of Georgia, there's enormous diversity in the state of different conditions there. I think there's plenty of room to back off. I think what the commission did, which I thought was very made the tough call, was on the testing, where they said, look, we've looked at this, and it's very, very clear that the notion that somehow we have to have universal testing or billions of tests a day now before we can unlock this country is wrong, that what's necessary is that we have sufficient testing for the phase that we're in.
There's also a new survey out that says that from Associated Press that 8 in 10 Americans do support that everyone stay at home and limit the social interaction, and 26% believe the current restrictions don't go far enough.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I always have a tough time kind of interpreting polls, because what's really lacking in these kind of polls is what's the context of that, how the questions were asked, what are they really trying to get at? I mean, when I look across this country, I see an enormous desire to get the country up and running again. On the other hand, I see very few people that want to get sick and die. So I think if you ask the question of most Americans, do you want to be safe but get the country up and running as quickly as possible? That's where Americans are. I think that. I think we see that. I think we see that in demonstrations. I think so. This notion that somehow everybody just wants to sit at home for 3 years, I don't think that's true.
Well, I'm looking at the remarks of Andrew Cuomo yesterday saying if you want a job, get a job as an essential worker, like in health or something of that nature, almost mocking the protesters. And I've heard others make fun of them out there protesting all this stuff and dangerous. Those folks are out there because they don't have any livelihood or money coming in. It's a real situation for them.
And here's the difference, you know. If they were in downtown Manhattan doing that protest, maybe I'd have some empathy. But they're not. I talked to somebody in a town yesterday in the middle of Texas, where once you leave that town, you got to walk miles before you see another living human being. They have one confirmed case in a town of several thousand people, and to say that every one of them should stay locked down, like people are in Manhattan, is how is that rational? I mean, it's, I, I, I just think you have to put these things in perspective. I think what people are asking for in states with very, very low infection rate, very adequate medical capacity, putting in the testing and the tracing capacity and architecture, and gradually opening the country in a risk-informed, their states in a risk-informed way, and parts of their state in a risk-informed way. I don't see what the problem is here.
And you said that was someone in Texas, is that right?
That was.
Well, in Harris County, Texas, a judge down there is ordering residents to wear masks for 30 days beginning next week or face a $1,000 fine or 180 days in jail.
Well, I'm not a lawyer or a judge or even a constitutional expert. Normally, you know, state and local governments have an awful lot of authority when it comes to public health policy. I'm not sure where judges come into that.
Would you consider the very simple, the very fact that you order something like that, that if you don't have a mask on, regardless of what you're doing, if you're in, and this is the Houston area, Harris County, that they,
right.
the police are caught. The police union said, what are we supposed to do? I mean, a judge issued the order. I mean, are we really supposed to stop someone and give them a fine or threaten them with jail? I mean, if they don't, and of course, Congressman Crenshaw down there said, this is unjust tyranny, obviously.
Here's the one thing I would say, and this is, I don't know the law, so this, put the law aside, but these are public health decisions. I don't want a judge making public health decisions. I want public health officials determining good public health policy and going to responsible elected officials who are responsible for setting public health policy in the community to say what they think is right, not some judge on a bench, would be my opinion, who is not a doctor, not a medical person, essentially deciding what public health policy should be. I mean, I don't think it's right in most areas of public policy, and this one, I think, the least of all.
In our last 30 seconds or so here, when Georgia opens up, or any of the other states begin to, we're obviously going to have another cases of infection. We're obviously going to have more deaths in that particular state or region. And I know the outcry is going to be, see, you move too fast. What's going to be the answer?
Well, I think you it's a throttle. You adjust it. If you move too fast, then you back off. On the other
now,
hand,
how damaging is that going to be the economy? Stop, start.
Well, it depends if you're going county by county, community by community. I think people make risk-informed decisions. So if I was in Georgia, would I be having Lady Antebellum concert scheduled for next week? No, probably not.
Can I have your tickets?
Store,
go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I hear what you're saying. No mass gatherings.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, I we have these debates as if human beings have no common sense and people don't have the capacity to manage risk. And we create these Manichaean arguments, like, which makes no sense, between we should all go to Disneyland or we should all lock ourselves in the basement, when the reality is that the human species survived for several millennia because our brains are designed to actually not do really stupid stuff.
And generally the stupid ones, the gene pool gets improved as we go forward.
Yeah, they don't call it the Darwin Award for nothing.
James Carafano of the National Heritage Foundation, as always, we appreciate it, sir.
Thanks for having me.
We'll do it again. James Carafano. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we documented for you yesterday about how CNN's Chris Cuomo, fake news, acting like, oh, I got to stay in my basement because I have COVID-19, and he was caught outside. There's a new development on that story. And what do you do? I don't know how to phrase this. If you want to go to a nudist colony, I'm just asking, do you have to wear a mask? I mean, I'm just asking. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Someday, when I'm awfully low, when the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you and the way you look tonight.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So we spent some time yesterday exposing the fake news coming out of CNN and NNN from Chris Cuomo. Of course, Chris Cuomo had been doing his broadcast for a period of time from his basement of his home because he had been designated COVID-19. So he went to the basement, living down there by himself and his family on the upper levels. And he spent some time down there and said, you know, I'm going to be down here for 2 weeks or so. And then when he did come out of the basement officially, they had a CNN crew as he came up the stairs, and he's acting like, for once again, I can rejoin society and my family. Here's the way they played it on the air.
All right, here it is, the official reentry from the basement, cleared by CDC, a little sweaty, just worked out, happens. This is what I've been dreaming of, literally for weeks. My wife, she was cleared by the CDC. She doesn't have fever. She doesn't have the symptoms anymore, more than 7 days from her quarantine. But we're still a little scared, so I'll just give you one of these. 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 Bella has, of course, taken the video. This is the dream, just to be back up here doing normal things.
Chris Cuomo coming out of the basement for the first time. Not true. Not true. He had been documented on Easter Sunday. He and his family were visiting a piece of property he had about a half an hour's drive from his home. Somebody saw them, called out to him, angered him, and then he's talked about it later as a guy. By the way, the biker reported his story to the New York Post, which in turn reported the story, and then Chris Cuomo basically documented it on his own radio show later, saying, I got this fat guy on a bike hollering at me. I don't have to put up with that. Acknowledging he was out of the house on Easter Sunday. And he's supposed to be down in the basement. He came out, obviously, in violation of his basic order to stay away from everyone. But he thought, I can do what I want. I'm Chris Cuomo. And yet when he's called on this, he still gets upset. He did violate the quarantine. And obviously he violated it. And then presented the propaganda like he hadn't, coming out of the basement for the first time and kind of giving a little wave at his hand when he talked to his family. A little bit of this for that, a little bit for you, and glad to be back with my wife. You know, and I'm coming out of the basement, looking a little sweaty. I've been working out, like, you know, I'm doing what I can to stay fit and everything down the basement, and I just happened to be working out before I decided I could come up the basement. So, you know, I'm doing all of this, and I'm doing things right. And always broadcast from his basement. Well, unfortunately, not just the fact that he came out and is now exposed because he was leaving his home, the basement, and then his home as well, on Easter Sunday. And we don't know what kind of relationships they actually had in the house. His story is, I was in the basement all the time. Well, if he was not in the basement on Easter Sunday when he took that half-hour drive with his family, then obviously you have to ask, well, what else was going on in the home that you're not telling us about? The part of the story that is disturbing is now his son has been documented as having COVID-19. Now, did he get it from his father? Did he get it because of that Sunday outing? Did he get it because dad was upstairs a lot more than he indicates he was? We don't know. He's young. I think he's a teen or just under that age, so hopefully the child's going to be okay. But here's a guy who thought, I can do what I want, I'm Chris Cuomo, and I'll go where I want. And he got caught. And now, unfortunately, his son is going to possibly pay the price. Now, again, is it speculation that he got it from his father? Yeah, because I don't know where else the son has been or who else has been over the household. But you had a COVID-19 case inside the house. All right, so I have a question for you. If you want to go, I know some of you may want to. If you want to get away from all that, you want to go to a nude beach, just get away from all of this stuff. Do you have to wear a mask at a nude beach? Czechoslovakia has been dealing with COVID crisis also, and they have a nude beach. And those on the beach were told, if you're going to be here, and for the rest of those who live around this area who like to come out in their garden, get some fresh air in the nakedness, you have to wear a mask. Don't have to cover anything up, but you got to wear the mask. So now you know, if you're going to go out there, you're going to have to deal with that. I thought it should be something you should learn and know right away. Coming up in the next hour, I want to share a letter from a listener who responded to Harvard University declaring that it's stupid for parents to teach their kids at home, that they're not capable. And also the black Georgia representative, Democrat, dares to say he's going to vote for Donald Trump. A black Georgia Democrat representative says, I'm for Trump. He says that, declares that. And that, my friend, after he makes that declaration, that's where it hit the fan. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.